Thanks, Danelle. So what we want to find out tonight is who has the most Facebook friends. So I know not all of you have Facebook, but we want to find out who has the most friends. So maybe you don't know how many you have. Quickly grab out your phone and just check. But what we're going to do is if you have Facebook and if you have more than, let's say, 200 friends, why don't you stand to your feet? Come on, if you've got more than 200 friends on Facebook, stand to your feet. There is going to be a prize for the winner with the most friends, so you're definitely going to want to be in this. I think there's more of you than that that have more than 200 friends. There will be a prize. You want to win this. All right, no, I didn't ask you to talk. Just look. Alrighty, okay. You should know about how many friends you have. If you have more than 400 friends, stay standing. If you've got less than 400, you can take a seat. If you've got more than 800 friends, you can stay standing. If you've got less, take a seat. If you have more than 1,000, stay standing. Okay, not too many of you. Four of you left. Three. More than 2,000. Okay. Now, the three of you just... How many of you got, Paul? Just looking. Cassidy, how many do you have? 1,055. Paul, how many do you have? Tyrell, how many do you have? Oh, okay. Does anyone have more than 1,099? Paul, how many do you have? Doesn't it? Okay, Tyrell, why don't you come up here? Give him a round of applause. Come on, come up here quick. It's 1,099 friends. You have the most friends out of everyone here. That's awesome. So what we've got for you, this is a stress ball. Because having that many friends on Facebook would be very stressful. Just stay there. Having to keep up with all those people, with that news feed, with everything, that must take a lot of time and a lot of effort. So hopefully that helps you out. But I want to ask you, could you name all of those friends?
I couldn't name half my family.
He said he couldn't even name half his family, let alone all his friends. Anyway, take a seat. Thank you. Awesome. So he couldn't name all those friends. Even though he's got 1,099, he couldn't actually name them all. So I want to ask tonight, is there a difference between Facebook friends and real friends? Can you really be friends with 400 people, 600 people, 1,099 people? Can you be true friends with that many people? What even is a friend? Now, I want you to consider this. Do you have a true friend? Do you have true friends? I think the word friend has really lost its meaning to us today. We have so many friends, but I think few of us really have true friends. And that's what we want to talk about today. True light and friendship of God's design. So we need to understand, as we start off, that our great God is a God of relationships. He's a Trinitarian God. He is three distinct persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Tonight, for Emma's baptism, she was baptized, as it says in Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In God's own essence and nature, he has and is perfect community. He has perfect relationship with himself, which is a friendship of sorts. And it's important for us to know that is who he is. Now, in creating us, humans, he did not create us because he was lonely or because he needed anyone. He created us because he wanted to. He was already perfect. He didn't need to create us. And in the way that he created us, we see that he created us all for relationships, and together, that's how we can best honor him. And that's what this whole series is about. We see in Genesis 2:18 that when the first person was alone, God said it was not good. God knew that it would be good for there to be more people in community and to have relationships with. Now, not only in love relationships through marriage, but also other relationships. And today, we are the same. We still need and have desires to be in community and relationships with other people. It's how we were designed. And all of us relate and have contact with multiple people in our lives. These people that we relate to will all have influence on our lives in one degree or another. Now, if you think back, there are probably people in your life who have changed the course of your life because of the influence they've had on you, both the positive or maybe even the negative. If we're spending time with the wrong sort of people, we may be influenced by them and pick up their values and traits. These might be destructive to your life and your relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Bad company ruins good morals, sorry. But alternatively, if we spend time with the right sort of people, we can be encouraged and guided in our morals and brought closer to God as they speak truth and love into our life. We can be sharpened and become more and more like Jesus. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." So relationships are a gift from God, and if used well, they can be of incomparable value. But if misused, they can be detrimental. And one of the most important relationships that I believe is really lacking in our society today is friendship, in the true sense. And in friendship, it is important for us to consider if these friendships are influencing us in a positive or in a negative way. So what is a friend? I think it would actually be helpful for us to have a bit of a definition. This is the best definition I kind of found when I was looking this week. A friend is a trustworthy person with whom we mutually choose to lovingly do life with for God's glory. I'll read it again. A trustworthy person with whom we mutually choose to lovingly do life with for God's glory. So let's just unpack this a little bit. The first thing it says there is a trustworthy person. The person needs to be trustworthy, and you need to be trustworthy. If you can't trust them, how can you ever be a true friend with them? And it's both of you choosing. You might have that person that thinks that they're your friend, but you're not really friends with them. That's not a good, true friendship. You both need to be friends with each other. And it's intentionally choosing. You've made the choice to be friends. And not just hanging out, but actually doing life with. And it's for God. Apart from God, the ideals and directions of our lives may not line up. But when there's two people together for God living out the friendship, it's so, so much better. So this means that people you're sinning with can't be your true friends. If you've got your mates that go down to the pub and get drunk and they encourage you to do the same, they can't be your true friends. If your girlfriend or your boyfriend that you're with is encouraging you to sin, they cannot be your true friend. People who are not drawing you closer to Christ are not true friends. And it's really, really important to think about. So why are we defining this and talking about this? Can't we just work it out and let it happen? Well, one problem is if we don't know what a true friend is, we might actually end up missing out on true friendships and calling lots of people friends when they actually aren't. There might be different ways of relating to these people, and that would be a different relationship to friendship. It's not that we don't have relationships with these people, it's just different to true friendship. So it's important to be clear so that we don't have different expectations on what relationships should be. If you expect someone to be a friend and they act outside of your understanding of a friend, that can be painful and feelings can get hurt. Now, like I said, we do have many people in our lives and we have lots of different relationships with different sorts of people. So we can form relationships with people as a result of circumstances. It's different circumstances that might have brought people together. And often we would consider these people friends by the world's standards. But as we'll see, they might not be by God's standard. So these might be people who you work with, maybe who you go to school, uni or TAFE with, or who you do things like sports or hobbies or other social events with. You have these friends because circumstances have brought you together and maybe common interests has kept you together. Now these are great people and these are really a great opportunity for you to invest into them. If they are not followers of Jesus, this is probably your greatest mission field. In these friendships, this is where you can see people come to know Jesus through your relationship and time investment in them. So be encouraged to get to know people and use your time to share the gospel and see people come to know Jesus. I would hate for you to take away from tonight to not be friends with people who are not Christians. We really want you guys to be doing that. But we want you to be encouraged to find true friends who are Christians and following Jesus. So be encouraged to get to know people and use your time that you have to share the gospel with them and see them come to know Jesus. That would be awesome if we can all do that. And we're going to talk more about this in term three. We're doing a series called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, and that's going to be talking all about that. But with these relationships, often if these relationships do not develop into true friendships, the relationship will end if the circumstances which have brought you together change. And many of you might know this. If you graduated from school, you finished uni, you get a different job, you move to a different city or a different area, you might have ended those friendships that you had. And it's true that all of these things make it hard to maintain friendships, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a reality of what those relationships are like. But what it may show is that these people are not, by definition, the people we would consider true friends. So there is another type of friend, a close friend, or what I want to call true friends. These are a result of choice. It might start out circumstantially, but you choose to invest the time and effort in regardless if the circumstances change that brought you together in the first place. These true friends are what we really need in life. Now, you can't have lots of true friends. It's really hard to invest in and be dedicated to a large number of true friends. And again, I want you to realize this doesn't mean you can't have true biblical friends. You can't have true friends who are not true biblical friends. We are rather trying to make sure we clearly define what a true biblical friend is so that we can work towards ensuring that we have these true friends in our lives, amongst all the other relationships that we have with different people. So what does a friendship actually look like? What am I talking about tonight? What defining marks are there in true friendship? Well, today we want to look to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So these are things for us to consider and help us along the way as we follow Jesus. Now, these are not morals. Wisdom is more than morals. It's not greater than, but extends past the base of morals. It's when morals don't provide a specific answer, wisdom can come in and help us to navigate life. And we see so much wisdom in Proverbs. So if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open up to Proverbs. I'll guide you to a verse shortly, but open up to Proverbs. If you don't have it, it'll be on the screen for you. But what we want to do in our time in Proverbs is look at how we choose good friends, but also how we be a good friend. That's really important. We need to do both. It can be easy for us to talk about what other people need to be or do to be a good friend, but we really need to first off look to ourselves and to see if we are being good friends. With all that we speak about, the first question to ask is, do I see this in my life? Do I see this in my life? To really thrive in life, in all that God has for you, to have true friends and to be a good friend, this will all be so, so important. So in our time in Proverbs today, what I want to first start off doing is looking at the things we don't want in friends and what we don't want to be in a friend. So if you've got your Bibles there, open up to Proverbs 16:28. It'll be on the screen, like I said. So it says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So if you're writing notes tonight, you can write the summary that I've got at the bottom there. Dishonesty and gossip separates friends. Dishonesty and gossip separates friends. Don't be friends with a dishonest person. It's pretty straightforward. If they aren't honest with you, if they aren't honest with other people, with their businesses, with their family, then they will not be honest with you. They will not be. Don't be friends with someone who is a whisperer. Now, that is someone who is a gossiper. Be careful of someone who gossips to you about other people. They will be doing the same to you. You don't want these friends. They are not for you. They are not benefiting themselves, and they definitely will not benefit you. That's pretty clear. We'll move on to Proverbs 18:24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The summary you can write for this one is true friends are few. True friends are few. So it says here, if you have many companions, it may be because they aren't true friends. Society would say the more people around you, the better. That makes you more popular and a greater person. But having many people who you take advice from and who you invest into may not be for your benefit. It says you may come to ruin if you have many companions. So this isn't saying make a clique with only 5 people in and no more. But we should only count a few as true friends and companions who we really do life with. The verse goes on to say that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Closer than family bonds. This sounds crazy. But when true friendship is lived out, it can feel closer than family bonds. And that's awesome. There is such a uniqueness to friendship. The choice to love, not simply from opportunity or position in life. And we see that it says there is a friend. That's implying that there aren't large numbers of people that we can truly be in this relationship with. There are only a handful of people who stay close, and we would be lucky in life to even have 1 or 2 friends who we would truly consider closer than siblings. So moving on, Proverbs 19 verse 4 says, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. The summary for this one you could write down is, wealth won't affect true friends. Wealth won't affect true friends. You need to be really careful if you have material wealth in this world, and so many of us do. We all really do. We're all so rich in this country. But you might find yourself with people wanting to be your friend. But is it because they are interested in you as a person, or because they are hoping to get some of your material wealth or power? It says a poor man is deserted by his friends. The true test of friendship would really be seeing who stays around if you lose all of your material wealth. Would your friend still be there if you lost all that this world holds in high regard? You want friends who love you for who you are, not for what you have. And we should look at who people are, not what they have in their wallets, when we're looking for friends as well. Continuing on, Proverbs 22, 24 to 25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. So angry people don't make true friends." Angry people don't make true friends. If you have relationships with angry people, you might keep feeling like you have to explain them to other people. You have to make excuses for why they're in a bad mood or acting angry. In a dating relationship, you might feel like you're often making excuses for the anger they have towards other people. You might say things like, "Oh, it's not his fault. He had another big day. He's just come from a really rough family." In friendship, you might even be worried that when you spend time with them, that they're going to get angry at someone else. Are they always angry at traffic? Do you think they're going to run one of the other drivers over? When you're out in public, you worry they're going to be angry at the shop assistants and stuff if their order's not right. If so, beware. The Bible says don't make friendships with them. You will get caught up in a snare. Angry people don't make true friends. Proverbs 17:9, jumping back a bit now, says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." True friends love and understand. True friends love and understand. We need to be speaking the truth to people we trust. When friends sin against us, there are times when we need to be open and talk through our hurts. We need to rebuke sin and together work to become more like Jesus. But there are times when we may need to overlook an offense because we know the person and we understand them. Friends would say, "I see you're really grumpy and what you need is a rest. Not for me to get upset at you and be offended because you've let your guard down." Just watch this video, it's kind of funny, it explains this pretty well. So this little girl's brother is a true friend. The little girl didn't need to be told that she was being annoying and rude, that she was self-centered and evil. What she needed was a sleep. She needed a sleep. If there is no grace when people are acting out of character for external reasons, pulling them up on it will not be helpful. That will not help them. There needs to be grace in that. Also in friendships, if matters are repeated, this will separate friends. If you're a good friend, you can't be continually hammering peers on everything. There is a time to correct and rebuke, but if you do that all the time, this will mean you're not being a good friend. Do you only tell people negative things? Do you only correct them? Or do you encourage them as well? Like I said, there is a time to correct and rebuke, but if you do that all the time, you're a bad friend. You're not a good friend. People will not want to be friends with you if you're only telling them negative things. So that's a few things that you don't want to do and don't want in a friend. But now we want to talk about what are good friends and what are some good things that we can do when we want to be good friends. So jump back again, Proverbs 13:20. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." True friends bring wisdom. True friends bring wisdom. So there are people that will either help or harm us. Either they will benefit you, help you get closer to God, grow in maturity and in wisdom, and therefore be true friends, or they just won't do any of these. If you choose wisely, you will grow in wisdom. However, if you choose unwisely, if you choose companions who are fools, you will suffer harm. You will not grow in wisdom, but will become a fool yourself. You want to choose friends who are wise and can offer you wise counsel. A guy called Craig Rochelle, a pastor from America, says it this way: "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." What sort of person do you want to become? Then choose friends that are on that same journey and will help you get there with wisdom. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity." True friends love in the good and the bad. True friends love in the good and the bad. Family will be there. They are always there for you, whether they really like you or not. That's what family does. Particularly when difficult times come, family will step in and help out because that's what they should do and that's what they are born for. But friends love at all times, in the good and the bad. Friends will be there with love. This shows such a unique bond in friendship. We need our family and we need our true friends. You will know who a friend really is when hard times come for you. Difficult times will prove friendships. You will know if you're a true friend when your friends go through tough times as well. A true friend always lets you in, but never lets you down. A true friend always lets you in, but never lets you down. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy." True friends tell the truth in love. This is what we were talking about before. And this is a really interesting verse. True friends tell the truth in love. So often we think we just want people in our lives that agree with everything we say and do, who simply encourage us, and that's all they do. Encouragement is important, like I said, but if that's all they do, we might need to think about this. Do you always want someone who agrees with you? Will that make them a good friend? What if you're about to do something really stupid and they tell you just to go and do it? What if you hurt someone and they tell you, well, it wasn't your fault? Wouldn't you want people in your life that care enough about you to tell you the truth? The truth in love, absolutely, but we need to hear the truth and it can be painful. A friend feels the pain of a wound, even when they are the ones that have inflicted it. A friend knows in a time of rebuke, they would think this: the painful words I'm going to speak to you are going to wound me. The painful words I'm going to speak to you are going to wound me. They don't wound us to harm us, but to sanctify us, which means to help make us more like Jesus. With careful words, they point out sin in our lives and the wrong things that we do. A good friend is able to wound you to remove something in your life that shouldn't be there. This is just like a doctor who cuts out a cancerous growth. So too can friends help us remove sinful things in our lives. So if someone hurts you, if someone confronts you about something, you need to ask the question, are they my friend? If they are, you should consider what they say very carefully and see if there is truth to it, rather than simply shutting them off, which is what we so often naturally do. As we go on in this verse, it says, the kisses of the enemy or of an enemy are profuse, meaning there's many, many kisses from an enemy. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth. But it's interesting that through the kiss of his disciple Judas, that he was sent to the cross. Judas was Jesus' enemy. He betrayed him even though he was one of his disciples. Our enemies might actually appear to be our friends, always appearing to obsess over us, to lavish praise on us. But they may just be using their words to use and manipulate us, and it may end in our ruin. So similarly, in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." So you can write this down. True friends sharpen and strengthen. Real friendship is having an emotional connection and having vulnerability where people are able to sharpen each other. To grow in friendship, you will need to allow yourself to be known to your true friends. Now, this will take openness and vulnerability, something that is really hard, especially in our society. But when we're open to this, we will have the opportunity to be sharpened by the people who we are walking the same path as. Now, it will be tough. It will hurt. Sharpening us will mean the sparks might fly. But growing in godly character is so important and it will strengthen our friendships. So we've raced through this tonight. And I know we've only looked at a few verses, but I really hope that you've taken something away and you've really began to think about what it means to be a true friend. But maybe after thinking this and thinking through these things, you're feeling a little bit discouraged. You realize you don't have the good friends that you need. You don't have people telling you the truth and speaking truth into your life. Or you know that you aren't the good friend that you need to be. How can we possibly ever become and have good friends? It is because of Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, that we can grow into these friends. Jesus befriends us so that we can be the friend that we need to be. Jesus lost his friendship with God so that we could have friendship with God. He stepped out of perfect relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit to die for us in our place on the cross. That is so awesome. And how much more could we possibly want? He was open. Jesus lets you in, but he never lets you down. If you know that and you understand that, that liberates you to be the friend that you need to be. You don't ever need to be afraid of being let down because Jesus will never let you down. The great friendship of Jesus was shown so clearly on the cross, and we always need to remember that. Now, a good friend is a rare gift, and all of the stuff that we've talked about tonight is really hard. It's not our default setting, but we can't do this out of our own power. So through God's Spirit, let's work together at being the best friends we can be to those few in our life, and carefully and wisely seeking true friendship for God's glory. If you're here tonight and you don't have true friends in your life and you aren't the true friend that you need to be, take it to God in prayer. If you earnestly pray for true friends and with the help of the Holy Spirit work on who you are as a friend, then when a true friend does come along, you'll be prepared for true friendship. I know for me it has been through prayer, constant prayer, that I've been able to see God change me into a better friend, and I've also been blessed with some true friends in my life in recent years. So we're just going to play a song now for you to have some reflection time. I'm going to leave some questions up on the screen. I really want you to consider this while we listen to this song. What are you going to do today because of what you've heard? Do you need to be a better friend? And if so, how? And do you need to pursue better friendship? The song will go for about 2 minutes, and I'm going to jump back up and I'm going to pray for us. So please take this time to reflect now. Awesome, so I hope you enjoy that song. I know it sounds a bit country, a bit weird, but it's actually a really old hymn they've made really cool. I love it. But as it says in the song, let's take it all to the Lord in prayer. So join with me in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much for who you are. We just thank you that you have perfect friendship and that you've created us for relationship. God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We just thank you so much that he stepped out of perfect relationship with you to come down to this world so that he could die on the cross for our sins, so that we could be made right with you. God, we thank you that we can be friends with you through what Jesus has done. Father, I pray for everyone tonight. I just pray that as they're here, as we pursue and we think about friendships, that you would bless us with true friends that would sharpen us and make us more and more like Jesus. God, we just ask that you would put good people in our lives. But more than that, God, we just pray that we would become the people that we need to be, that we would be true friends to all people, and that through our friendships that we would grow in so many ways to be more and more like Jesus. And God, we pray that we would see some of your kingdom come through our friendships that we have here. So I just ask a blessing over everyone here, and as we continue to look through Proverbs and all that you have in there, that we would live our lives based on your wisdom. So God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.